Pentagon's Angel Investor and Venture Fund. In addition to creating the internet, DARPA developed GPS, stealth bombers, weather satellites, pilotless drones, and the M16 rifle. DARPA was perhaps the largest funder of gain-of-function research, outstripping even Dr. Fauci's NIH in some years. In 2017 alone, DARPA laundered at least $6.5 million through Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance to fund experiments at the Wuhan lab. DARPA funded additional gain-of-function experiments at Fort Detrick and other biosecurity research at Battelle's laboratory at St. Joseph, Missouri. Beginning in 2013, DARPA also financed the key technologies for the Moderna vaccine. In 2002, DARPA set off a firestorm among human rights advocates from the left and right by creating a comprehensive data mining system under President Reagan's National Security Advisor, Admiral John Poindexter. Public protests forced DARPA to scuttle that project, but critics have accused the agency of using the technology to help launch Facebook. By remarkable coincidence, DARPA shut down its Facebook-like project LifeLog, a venture that involved MIT contractors, the very same month, February 2004, that Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook, just a 30-minute walk up the Charles River in Cambridge, Massachusetts, on the campus of Harvard University. In 2010, DARPA's visionary director, Dr. Regina Dugan, moved to Google as an executive, and in 2016, she transferred to Google's competitor, Facebook, running a mysterious project called Building 8. In 2018, she moved again to run Wellcome Leap, a health technology breakthrough innovation project of Wellcome Trust. Her peregrinations offer another example of the incestuous links between big tech, big pharma, and the military and intelligence agencies. According to veteran CIA officer Kevin Shipp, Silicon Valley CEOs who accepted InQtel contracts would become some of the 4.8 million Americans subsequently pressured into signing CIA state secret contracts, which subject signatories to 20-year prison sentences, property forfeitures, and other draconian reprisals imposed by secret courts for even minor violations of arbitrary provisions, including admitting to signing the contract. Once he signs that secrecy agreement, that Silicon Valley entrepreneur is now functionally the indentured servant of the agency. It binds him and his company for life, and the agreement itself is classified. Wired's seed funding came from MIT Media Lab founder Nicholas Negroponte, whose brother John Negroponte was the first director of national intelligence, notorious for his support of Central American death squads. Wired's central function was to scrub every last particle of progressive thinking from reporting on the then-developing online world and to promote a pro-military, pro-corporate, pro-intelligence agency view within the digital media and technology community, according to McCarthy, who lived and worked in San Francisco in the 1990s and organized the first conference on monetizing the web. When he saw his first copy of Wired, Dr. Timothy Leary reportedly called it the CIA's answer to Mondo 2000. In 2015, Wired emerged as a promoter of a particular brand of autism epidemic denial known as neurodiversity. By normalizing autism as neurodiversity, this movement seeks to dilute autism numbers, deny the vaccine association, and promote the larger view that all vaccines are safe and vaccine injuries are the delusions of crackpots. This movement has spawned an army of activist trolls weaponized to attack autism researchers, advocacy groups, and even families of vaccine-injured children. Steve Silberman, a writer for Wired since 2010, published the book Neurotribes in 2015 to massive acclaim and highly orchestrated publicity. It became the manifesto for the new autism rights movements, which also demonize medical freedom and food safety advocates. Its tactics include online attacks and aggressive disruption of public events, including conferences and film screenings. Wired is also the fountainhead of the equally sinister movement transhumanism, which advocates for the integration of human beings and machines. The movement's ancillary aims include extending the lifespans of key Silicon Valley billionaires indefinitely and liberating humanity from biological restraints using AI, novel therapies like stem cells and nanobots, vaccination, and subdermal chips. Jacques Ellul, an early pioneer, described transhumanism's elegant capacity for top-down control of humanity. He said, "For the psycho-civilized society, the complete joining of man and machine will be calculated according to a strict system, the so-called biocracy. It will be impossible to escape this system of adaption because it will be articulated with so much scientific understanding of the human being. The individual will have no more need of conscience and virtues. His moral and mental furnishing will be a matter of the biocrat's decisions." Transhumanism, in its various doctrinal approaches, has fervent acolytes among the Silicon Valley elites, including C-suite titans at Microsoft, Facebook, Tesla's Elon Musk, Google engineering director Raymond Kurzweil, PayPal founder Peter Thiel, satellite and biotechnology titan Martine Rothblatt, and Bill Gates. InQtel has made transhumanism one of the persistent themes of its long-term investment strategies. Not everyone is a fan. Francis Fukuyama has called the transhumanism movement the greatest threat to humanity. Schwartz served as a consultant on the 1998 sci-fi disaster film Deep Impact and the 1992 futuristic film Minority Report, which follows a special pre-crime police unit able to arrest murderers before they commit their crimes. Emerging reality seldom disappoints Schwartz's past predictions. In 2020, a Chinese whistleblower revealed that the Chinese government has widely deployed facial recognition technologies that can detect guilty thoughts against dissident minority groups. A March 3, 2021 article in The Guardian predicts that demands by government enforcement agencies will make remote emotion detection technologies a $36 billion industry by 2023. Schwartz's auguring skills are legendary. One of his early plots for GBN scenarios tested strategies by a major airline for surviving a coronavirus pandemic. Time magazine's 2004 profile focused on Schwartz's unerring prognosticating. "Very rarely have we really missed," he told Time of his forecasting. "More often, our failure is in getting people to take it seriously." The Time article mentioned one of his most impressive fortune-telling stunts. In 2000, as part of a study for a Senate commission, Schwartz predicted the horrifying possibility of terrorists flying planes into the World Trade Center. In 2016, as Senior Vice President of Strategic Planning at Salesforce.com, Schwartz chaired a session at the World Government Summit titled "How Governments Get Ready for the Unthinkable." 3,000 participants from 125 countries attended that year. Barack Obama delivered the keynote speech. Klaus Schwab, president of the World Economic Forum and the head of the World Bank, put a happy face on global crisis as a potential path to the cashless society so coveted by international banksters. The digital currency, is it the way of the future? In 2014, Schwartz conducted an offstage interview with Schwab at a Salesforce conference on the future of global governance, following a speech by Hillary Clinton, in which the two men forecast the merger of new devices with the human brain, allowing machinery to control our brains with our souls and our hearts. They applauded the concept of biology as part of the new technological and scientific revolution, and praised the capacity of the internet to integrate in a continuous interaction with the machinery of the human mind to control aberrant and criminal behavior, i.e. dissent, and to challenge people's sacred identities. Schwartz describes a machine-driven evolution that will supplant emotional intelligence with knowledge and data. According to Schwab, a new intelligence will be distributed and, of course, will accelerate even more technological progress. If you combine, let's say, brain research with big data, you have fantastic new areas with tremendous application for controlling behavior. Schwartz lauds Salesforce as a participant in this process. As chief futures officer for Salesforce, Schwartz currently markets a vaccine management software platform that allows governments to track, trace, monetize, and enforce vaccine compliance among global populations. An autumn 2021 video describes the latest factors impacting our ability to move out of multiple pandemic-driven global crises and promotes Salesforce's software as the solution. Schwartz predicts a dystopian future in which ever-evolving mutant strains of SARS-CoV-2 drive skyrocketing death rate curves and presumably ballooning pharma profits, making the race between the vaccines and a virus the conflict that will define the world economy and civilization's future. The Salesforce system is elaborate and provides local governments the ability to establish a credential ID system. InQtel markets a competitive technology, BNext, for tracking and tracing, facilitating pandemic management. Given the reality of the capacity of most government information technology, IT departments, national, state, and local, it's fair to say that without Salesforce.com, InQtel, and other companies like IBM, the planning and execution of population-wide vaccination programs of the kind Dr. Fauci and others called for would have been logistically impossible, says McCarthy. Training Day for Tyranny. By 2010, the Fauci-Gates partnership was spearheading the globalist biosecurity agenda. Bill Gates began partnering with military and intelligence planners to stage regular follow-up simulations. Each successive drill repeated the narrative of Schwartz's lockstep scenario for different audiences of key power brokers. These exercises served as devices for planners to rehearse their schemes with critical functionaries and to coordinate communications and choreograph the actions of diverse government, industry, military, intelligence, energy, and financial power centers in their lockstep march to replace constitutional democracy with authoritarian plutocracy. The global war against infectious diseases provided the rationale for oppressive government and corporate interventions. The arsenal for this war is the endless batteries of mandated vaccines to combat the diseases weaponized by gain-of-function experiments and marketed by sophisticated government corporate propaganda. In February 2017, Gates told the Munich Security Conference, the leading global convention on international security policy, that we ignore the link between health security and international security at our peril. He warned that a highly lethal global pandemic will occur in our lifetimes by a quirk of nature or at the hand of a terrorist. The world needs to prepare for epidemics the way the military prepares for war. Mars 2017. By mid-2017, the Rockefeller Foundation and intelligence agency planners had passed to Bill Gates their baton as the primary funder and frontman for the military intelligence community's increasingly regular pandemic simulations. In May, the health ministries for the world's wealthiest 20 G20 nations assembled for the first time, gathering in Berlin to participate in a joint exercise scenario with an imagined China responding to a contagion dubbed MARS for Mountain-Associated Respiratory Virus. MARS is also the Roman god of war. German governmental institutions collaborated to produce the simulation with the Gates Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, the World Bank, the WHO, and the Robert Koch Institute, RKI. The ministers hailed from the United States, Russia, India, China, Britain, France, Germany, Canada, Argentina, Brazil, Korea, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, South Africa, Turkey, and the European Union. The exercise's two moderators also worked closely with the Gates Foundation. David Heyman served simultaneously as chair of the UK's Center on Global Health Security and as an epidemiologist with the Gates-funded London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. Heyman also sits with Moderna CEO Stéphane Bancel on the Mérieux Foundation USA board. bioMérieux is the French company that built the Wuhan lab. Throughout the COVID-19 pandemic, Heyman has chaired the WHO's Scientific Technical Advisory Group for Infectious Hazards. The other moderator of the 2017 simulation was Professor Ilona Kickbush, a member of Gates's Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. Over 2 days, the global health ministry officials and other guest countries and international representatives bore witness to a timeline of the unfolding pandemic known as MARS, a novel respiratory virus spread from busy markets in a mountainous border region of an unnamed but China-like country to nations around the globe. Only draconian clampdowns by neighboring governments and heroic WHO technocrats orchestrating a tightly choreographed, centralized global response save humanity from a chaotic, dystopian apocalypse. In an hour-long documentary about that event, German journalist Paul Schreier shows the health ministers intently studying the simulation exercises. When we look at that picture, Schreier says, we might comprehend a bit better why in today's crisis, all or at least most of the countries are proceeding very coordinatedly and why in every country, more or less the same is acted out. They were given the same general recipes and procedural instructions that are now being realized in a synchronized way. SPARS 2017. 5 months later, in October 2017, Gates convened yet another tabletop pandemic at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, the Global Biosecurity Command Center. Gates's foundation, along with NIAID and NIH, are major funders of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. SPARS 2017 chronicled an imaginary coronavirus pandemic that would supposedly run from 2025 to 2028. The exercise turned out to be an eerily precise predictor of the COVID-19 pandemic exactly 3 years later. Gates's working group, which staged the exercise, was a collection of characters with deep connections to intelligence agencies and NIH. They included Luciana Borio, vice president of the CIA's NQTEL, and Joseph Buccina, director of intelligence community support and B-Next operations at NQTEL. Prior to joining B-Next, Buccina was a program manager for NQTEL's biotech portfolio, which works with tech startups specializing in enhanced products for the intelligence and defense communities. Matthew Shearer, a senior analyst at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security and associate editor of the peer-reviewed journal Health Security, would discover the first U.S. cases of coronavirus in Seattle in February 2020. Walter Orenstein, M.D., is a former Surgeon General who managed CDC's fraudulent efforts to suppress the science linking autism to vaccines from 1999 to 2004. He left HHS to serve as Deputy Director for Immunization Programs at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and advisor to WHO. Another working group member was vaccine developer Dr. Gregory Poland, whom the National Institutes of Health has continuously funded since 1991. building on the Pentagon's anthrax simulation 1999 and the intelligence agency's Dark Winter in 2001, Atlantic Storm 2003-2005, Global Mercury 2003, Schwartz's Lockstep Scenario document 2010, and Mars 2017, the Gates-funded SPARS scenario, War Game Day bioterrorist attack that precipitated a global coronavirus epidemic lasting from 2025 to 2028, culminating in coercive mass vaccination of the global population. And as Gates had promised, the preparations were analogous to preparing for war. Under the codename SPARS Pandemic, Gates presided over a sinister summer school for globalists, spooks, and technocrats in Baltimore. The panelists role-played strategies for co-opting the world's most influential political institutions,